This is BYU Idaho Radio. I'm Brandon Isle.
And I'm Brianna Willis. And this is Tell Me About It. Coming up in the next half hour, we have our weekly segment with Idaho legislators talking about this week in politics.
Plus, a group of five siblings is performing tonight. We talk to the five Browns about their music.
We just want families to be able to come and enjoy wonderful music and not be concerned about if they're clapping in the right spot or not, or if their child's making a little bit of noise. We want you to be able to feel the joy and the beauty and sometimes the pain that classical music can stir up in individuals.
And it's a whole new scouting program today.
You know, the Boy Scouts of America, our purposes are developing citizenship, personal fitness, character development, and leadership skills in youth. And starting today, that will include middle age and high school age girls.
These stories and more are coming up in Tell Me About It.
The official beginning of Scouts BSA started today. Girls can join the Scouts and be involved in the same activities as Boy Scouts. Clark Farr, Scout Executive of the Grand Teton Council, talked to us about the new program. Student reporter Emma Hassel tells us more.
Today marks the official beginning of Scouts BSA. Girls can join the Scouts and earn badges, be part of the scouting activities, and even earn Eagle Scout awards. Clark Farr is part of the Grand Teton Council and talked to us about the changes taking place.
You know, the Boy Scouts of America, our purposes are developing citizenship, personal fitness, character development, and leadership skills in youth. And starting today, that will include middle age and high school age girls.
Farr says girls have been involved in Scouts for a long time, but starting today, girls can move up from Cub Scouts and be more involved. He said that involvement for middle school and high school aged girls will be beneficial, mentioning that his daughters would have enjoyed being in Scouts.
I'm a father of three sons and two daughters. And my kids are all grown, but my daughters would have enjoyed the scouting program as much or maybe more than their brothers did.
Last May, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints announced that in December of this year, the church will end its relationship with the scouting programs. Until then, the church will remain engaged in scouting for boys and young men and has encouraged youth, families, and leaders to continue their active participation and financial support of the scouting program. Today is also the kickoff for the Friends of Scouting fundraiser to help financially support the Scouts in the Grand Teton area.
So today is also the kickoff for our Friends of Scouting, and we definitely need the financial support, and we hope that LDS church members will take the direction from church leadership seriously and continue to support, you know, be fully engaged in scouting and continue to support it financially.
For more information or to donate to the Scouts, visit tetonscouts.org. For BYU Idaho Radio, I'm Emma Hassel.
A new bill is gaining traction in the Wyoming House of Representatives. The legalization would impose tougher penalties against protesters who intentionally disrupt the operation of refineries, power plants, pipelines, and mines in Wyoming. In addition, groups behind these protests could be fined up to $100,000 under House Bill 10. The proposed bill was recommended by the House Minerals, Business, and Economic Development Committee. It now goes to the entire House for more debate. Opponents of the proposal say it would have infringed on the rights of protesters and landowners. No current laws address any crimes against these faculties. Supporters say no rights would be threatened and current laws are not adequate. A similar measure passed the legislature last year, but was vetoed by former Governor Matt Mead. Legislation to amend Idaho's constitution to expand the rights of crime victims and their families will get a hearing. The Senate State Affairs Committee approved the hearing today in Boise. The proposal would change Idaho's 1994 Victim Rights Amendment. It would require victims to be timely notified of court proceedings involving suspects. It would also allow victims to be heard during the legal process. Similar proposals have failed in the legislature in previous years. If passed, it could cost counties and local governments across Idaho up to $550,000 each year. The amendment, dubbed Marcy's Law for Idaho, is named for a California woman killed in 1983 by her ex-boyfriend after he was released from jail without her being notified. This month, the Madison Library District is all about the Scarlet Pimpernel. The classic by Baroness Emushka Ordesi is the focus of On the Same Page, the library's yearly event that features a classic novel. The story is set during the Reign of Terror just after the beginning of the French Revolution. The hero is an Englishman who rescues aristocrats before they're sent to be killed.
For a month, we have all kinds of different activities and programs, presentations that tie in with that to explore it from a lot of different angles. And we've got hundreds of copies of books that we give away so that you can read it with your friends and your family and your neighbors and talk about it and just celebrate it, basically, for a month. Yeah, just come. It's going to be a month-long party. I hope we have a full house.
That's Catherine Stanton, the adult service librarian with the Madison Library. She says there are free books still available in the library, so you can join in the events. Tonight is the first event. It's called The Importance of Knowing the Risks of Secret Keeping in Relationships with Geoff Winfrey of Centerpoint Counseling Services. That event starts at 7 in the community room. Other events this month include making a Venetian mask, how to turn crepe paper into realistic flowers, and a masked ball. For more information about the event and to listen to our interview with Stanton, go to BYUIdahoRadio.org. For BYU Idaho Radio, I'm J.D. Packer. Be informed, be inspired.
Thanks, J.D. This is Tell Me About It, and I'm Brianna Willis.
And I'm Brandon Isle. It looks like we'll have a wet weekend with a chance of snow and rain throughout the listening area. Highs will be in the upper 30s to 40s. In Jackson, there's a winter weather advisory that goes into effect Saturday night and into Sunday morning.
Right now, it's 34 degrees in Rexburg, 30 in Idaho Falls, 49 in Pocatello, and 28 in Jackson.
Local lawmakers will hold a town hall meeting at Pocatello City Hall this Saturday from 10 to 11 a.m. Senator Mark Nye and Representatives Elaine Smith and Chris Abernathy will talk about issues like education funding, Medicaid expansion, and the minimum wage bill.
Coming up on Tell Me About It, hundreds of music teachers and soon-to-be teachers are gathered at BYU-Idaho.
That's really what all this is about. It's music educators coming together to learn how to become better and more influential of music educators.
And this week, the mayors of Rexburg and Sugar City, along with a Madison County commissioner, shared what's going well for their cities and county.
If we want our kids and our grandkids to have opportunity to be able to stay here, then we need to have growth and we need to have new businesses that are hiring people. And so that's really it.
This is Tell Me About It on BYU Idaho Radio. We'll be right back.
Looking for a way to unwind and relax this weekend? Tune in to Weekend Jazz on Friday evenings at 8 and Saturday evenings at 6 and 10. I'm Andrew Gordon, and I'll be playing the best jazz hits on BYU Idaho Radio 94.3 FM.
This is Tell Me About It on BYU Idaho Radio. I'm Brandon Isle.
And I'm Brianna Willis. Businesses and city members met this week for the State of the Cities and County Breakfast at the Hemming Village Atrium in Rexburg. Jessica Morgenthaler tells us more about what they discussed.
To kick off the State of the Cities and County Breakfast, Rexburg Mayor Jerry Merrill read off some expert advice about commerce from the Madison Middle School 5th grade class.
Dear Jerry Merrill, some problems in our town, bank robbers, icy roads, and we need a stoplight at the Valleywide gas station. I will give you a picture on the paper.
Quite a few mentioned issues with having so many apartment buildings in the area, and also suggestions about finance, roads, pollution, and a more pressing issue for a shorter school schedule and longer recess.
And my favorite, dear mayor, I'm supposed to write a letter to you about concerns. I have none. The city is beautiful, safe. I love you, your granddaughter, Dreamy.
Merrill continued to discuss the growth of the Rexburg community. With all that growth comes the need for more development and new business. Not everyone is pleased with this change. It can be a hard thing to accept at times.
Like I said, if we want our kids and our grandkids to have opportunity to be able to stay here, then we need to have growth and we need to have new businesses that are hiring people. And so that's really it. And then, you know, people are always... You know, people want things, but they don't want things to change. You know, like they want the new restaurant so they have the variety, and they want the clothing stores, and they want these things. But without growth, there's not enough people to support those things. So, you know, it's kind of a scale that has to be balanced. You know, we can't have those kind of things that people want, you know, the choice and the diversity for shopping and all that kind of thing, without enough population to support them.
Rexburg and Sugar City have big things coming this way. As our cities expand, new opportunities for fun food places keep opening up. Rexburg had 15 ribbon cuttings last year, and Sugar issued 20 building permits. There are also events like Experience Rexburg and 4th of July celebrations to look forward to. The mayor said these events promote good business and help bring the community together. He also mentioned the next big development downtown. It would include business spaces, a parking garage, and possible room for apartments in that area, similar to the newest addition to Hemming Village. Sugar City Mayor David Ogden also spoke at the breakfast, addressing the importance of infrastructure.
All the work you've wanted for so long. You don't get that nice clothing store that you would like. The nice places to play, parks, recreation. None of that happens unless that basic infrastructure is there. So as a community, we have to accept the idea that we have to pay for that, because it doesn't come free. As a city, we've been going through that lately. It's been an interesting process being on the other side now, as a mayor and a council and our public works people, working with engineers to determine what's going to happen in the future? How do we make allowance for continued growth? Because whether we like it or not, this area is growing. And it's beginning to affect Sugar City just like it is Rexburg.
Ogden mentioned Sugar City's next big plans involve expanding their residential area and a possibility of bringing in a YMCA.
They finished their feasibility study. It looks great. They're very excited to come into the community. So we're going to be starting into the design phase of the building, what they anticipate. I'm sure we'll be starting to have meetings with them.
Madison County Commissioner John Weber discussed the progress of transportation improvements and talks of a new landfill location with some assistance from the BYU-Idaho students.
Well, with the growth in the county, transportation is at the top of safely, more efficiently moving. Effectively moving cars is very important to us and certainly plays a part of economic development. So we've been hard at work in attracting state and federal funds to help with our road projects.
Weber says they are working on the road for the Thornton Interchange, which is expected to finish this spring, and a roundabout in Hibbard. Other speakers included Chamber of Commerce Chairman Rick Exel and Edward Jones, who also discussed the growth of the two cities and county. It's an exciting time for Rexburg, Sugar City, and Madison County. Keep a lookout for new businesses, better roads, more housing, and community events. You can keep up to date on what's happening in your town by following their home Facebook page or local city websites. For BYU-Idaho Radio, I'm Jessica Morgenthaler.
The Idaho Music Educators Association is at BYU-Idaho this weekend for a conference and performances. Student reporter Stephanie Steele tells us about it.
Plato once said, "I would teach children music, physics, and philosophy, but most importantly music, for the patterns in music and all the arts are the keys to learning."
My main thing is really just to make a difference in the lives of the students. Because I hated school growing up, personally, but the only thing that kept me there and giving me a drive was the music and the life lessons that my music educators gave to me. So I really take that personally in a good way, and I just want to pass that on to other students because I know how hard it can be.
Tony Clark is a music education major at BYU-Idaho. He's soaking up everything he can at the Idaho Music Educators Association conference at BYU-Idaho.
There's a lot of things about characteristics of being a music educator I want to learn about, but there's also just some nitpicky things like brass repair or, you know, specifics, like more just skills. But there's also a lot of characteristics of being a music educator that I want to learn about. That's really what all this is about. It's music educators coming together to learn how to become better and more influential of music educators.
Music education is so important that Idaho holds a conference every year dedicated to improving music educators around the state. IMEA holds this conference in hopes of inspiring teachers, both old and new, and it's being held right here at BYU-Idaho for the first time ever in the history of this conference. Tom Kloss, the president-elect of IMEA, says there are several events associated with the conference.
So we have actually two events happening. So happening at BYUI is our teacher conference. So all the music teachers from the state are here for professional development opportunities, and they're going to classes and hearing concerts from ensembles all over Idaho. And then our other side, at Madison High School right now, we have our All-State Conference. Okay. So all of the students audition for and make a band, two choirs, an orchestra, a jazz band, and a jazz choir, and they do concerts throughout our conference.
This conference involves 700 students. The high school students involved in All-State are each highly accomplished musicians who worked hard to be here. Savannah Malin and Ella Schroeder tell us about the audition process.
So we have audition pieces that they give us in October that we practice and audition then, and then from then they choose our, like, who gets in and stuff.
Okay. So was it a hard audition process?
Yeah.
These students attend rehearsals all day Thursday and Friday, along with various master classes. At the end of the weekend, they get to perform in a concert for the community. Karina Steinbaugh, who was in charge of teaching the vocal jazz students this weekend, told me what she hopes the students gain from this experience.
As a teacher, I hope they come away learning some new things, putting new tools in their tool belt, having an awesome experience, and being able to take this whole concept of vocal jazz and bring it back to their schools and hopefully get other students excited about it.
In addition to those students, there are also 200 teachers and 100 future teachers in attendance. They go to classes that will help them find new methods of teaching and will inspire them to be better teachers. Lori Kahn says her experience with IMEA years ago inspired her to become an elementary teacher.
The short version of it is IMEA, a long time ago, I'm not even going to tell you how many years ago, when it was in Pocatello.
Really?
And I stumbled upon a elementary general music session, an ORF session, and I had been teaching in a K-12 position, and I just, I tell this funny story. The heavens opened up and said, "This is what you're supposed to do." And it really spoke to me, working with movement and playing the instruments and singing and dancing and the theater aspect of it.
In all, this weekend is about inspiring teachers and students alike to reach their potential. You can check out the All-State Jazz Concert tonight at 7 o'clock p.m. in the Kirkham Auditorium, or the All-State Choral Concert tomorrow at noon, and the All-State Instrumental Concert tomorrow at 2 o'clock, both in the Madison High School Auditorium. For BYU Idaho Radio, I'm Stephanie Steele.
Thanks, Stephanie. We'll hear more from her later in the show. The skies are sunny right now, but that's going to change this weekend. We can expect snow or rain throughout the weekend and into next week. Highs will be in the upper 30s to the lower 40s throughout our listening area. Lows will be in the 30s.
If you're traveling this weekend, Boise has a chance of rain tonight and more rain or snow throughout the weekend. Highs are in the 50s. Salt Lake City will also be wet this weekend with highs in the upper 40s to lower 50s.
Right now it's 34 degrees in Rexburg, 29 in Idaho Falls, 49 in Pocatello, and 31 in Jackson.
During February, Portneuf Medical Center in Pocatello is offering low-cost heart screenings. For $16, adults can have their blood drawn and tested for cholesterol, LDL, HDL, triglyceride, and VLDL. The test can indicate risk factors for heart disease. The reduced price labs are open to everyone. For more information, visit the medical center's website at portneuf.com.
Coming up on Tell Me About It, we talk to Idaho lawmakers about what's happening this week in Boise.
Plus, you can see the Five Browns tonight in concert. That's five siblings and five grand pianos.
We just want families to be able to come and enjoy wonderful music and not be concerned about if they're clapping in the right spot or not, or if their child's making a little bit of noise. We want you to be able to feel the joy and the beauty and sometimes the pain that classical music can stir up in individuals.
Coming up tonight at about 6:45 on weekdays on BYU Idaho Radio, we have an interview with none other than the Five Browns. These siblings are a dynamic quintet of pianists. They've performed all over the world. The New York Post has said that five pianos and 50 fingers adds up to the biggest classical music sensation in years. They are performing tonight on the campus of BYU Idaho at 7:30 p.m. Don't miss it. The interview is tonight at about 6:45, right after the news and music.
For BYU Idaho Radio, I'm Virginia Henry, and this is Tell Me About It. This week, a lot has happened at the Capitol in Boise. I had the opportunity to interview Democratic Senator Marianne Jordan from Boise and Republican Senator Dean Mortimer from Idaho Falls about what has been going on. I asked both of them how this week has been so far.
Well, it's been kind of a busy week. One of the really fun things that happens every year at the Capitol is we have Buy Idaho Day, and it's a day where Idaho businesses are featured. They're all here at the Capitol building, and folks come really from all over to just be part of that day and learn about all the great businesses in Idaho and check out some of the fun things they all have to offer.
This week has been a little bit quiet, but we're gearing up, working hard on the new education funding formula, which will be probably one of the major pieces of legislation that happens and comes before the legislature this year.
I asked about recent legislation that Senator Jordan introduced herself. It's called Add the Words.
Currently, the Idaho Human Rights Act protects Idahoans from discrimination based on race, religion, gender, military status, but it does not cover sexual orientation or gender identity. So while we have 14 cities in the state of Idaho that have non-discrimination ordinances, there still are places in Idaho, many places in Idaho, where a person can be fired or they could lose their housing simply because of their sexual orientation or gender identity. So it seeks to add those same protections for those folks. I am still attempting to get a hearing on the bill.
That issue of Add the Words has come before the legislature every year for the last 4 or 5 years. And at this point, there hasn't been a solution that has been acceptable to the legislature. And so I'm sure that it will be discussed at some great length this year again. There's a very good possibility that there might be a solution found this year.
I also asked them what they're looking forward to with this year's session.
Medicaid expansion. As I think a lot of folks know, that passed with well over 60% of the vote statewide. And we are working on getting the funding for that so that we can get that program up and running. On Tuesday, I was able to attend the Supreme Court hearing on Medicaid expansion. The state has been sued to try to stop the will of the voters. And so the Supreme Court heard that case on Tuesday, and we're very hopeful that they'll hand down a positive decision, hopefully within the next week or so that we can complete our work here and get that program up and running the way the voters asked. And the thing that I'm working on is a bill to give some property tax relief to Idaho homeowners.
Because I'm primarily focused on education, there are some really interesting things that I think that we're trying to address. In Education Committee today, we will hear what we call a school improvement piece of legislation that will allow our schools that are struggling to achieve the results that they would like to actually have the funds to bring in an education turnaround expert. We are working on legislation that would give our high school students greater flexibility in their schedules. If they show a high degree of college and career readiness, that they can maybe participate in an internship or an apprenticeship or perhaps mentoring in our schools.
To hear both of their full interviews, go to our website, byui.edu/radio, or subscribe to our podcast. Just search for BYU Idaho Radio. Tune in next week to Tell Me About It, Friday afternoons at 4 p.m., for another update on this year's legislative session. For BYU Idaho Radio, I'm Virginia Henry. Last night was one of the clay studio classes at the Art Museum of Idaho. I was able to attend the class.
Tucked away in the downtown historic site of Idaho Falls sits the Idaho Art Museum. The museum features the work of local artists. It also plays host to traveling exhibits. Something a person might not know, however, is they also host several classes, including a clay studio twice monthly. I had a chance to attend this class last night.
Before you grab the roller and try to make your slabs even more flat, you want to kind of compress it down in spots, but try to get it, you know, kind of close.
That's Dustin Thompson, the teacher for the ceramics lab. He has been teaching at the Idaho Art Museum for the last 3 years, is an adjunct teacher at BYU Idaho, and has been doing ceramics for the last 23 years. Thompson first took an interest in art in high school, taking art classes, and then in college he found ceramics was an art form he was drawn to. He tells me about it while wedging clay.
the thing that I really enjoyed the most was ceramics. And at the school, they did ceramic sales too. And so I don't know what it was, but I like the idea of having that immediate kind of trade of goods there at the college. And so I think that was one of the things that really attracted me to it, was being able to make something and turn around and sell it that semester. So
wedging is the process used to prepare clay for the wheel, making sure it's all evenly mixed together. You can hear him working the clay as it slaps down onto the table.
Well, another thing, my dad, he owns a construction company that it's excavation, and so working with soils and materials is just kind of something that I've done since I was a kid. It just seemed like a natural fit to me.
Ceramics is a very physical art, as I found out. Not only that, it can also require you to think back to geometry when cutting out forms to hand-shape clay. I wasn't the only person who had some trouble grasping all the concepts.
How did he do this again? Did he just cut it and then it down? Make sure it's even and then you follow on the other side.
Most of the people at the class have never taken a ceramics class before, or they had only a brief introduction to it, maybe from high school or college. Cassandra Quintero is an Idaho Falls resident and a mother who came to have some fun today.
It was awesome. Like, actually, I'm not a very artistic person, so it was just fun to see what I could try.
Ceramics is not the only class offered at the Art Museum of Idaho. They also have beginning watercolor courses, contemporary painting, and times offered for studio painting. At the end of the day, I was able to walk away with three pieces of my own creation, two bowls and a soap dish. While I can't vouch for the functionality or beauty of the pieces, I can say I had a lot of fun making them. To find out more about the Art Museum or to register for a class, go to theartmuseum.org. For BYU Idaho Radio, I'm Brianna Willis.
The Five Browns performed tonight at BYU Idaho. Stephanie Still got to talk to them.
Hi, I'm Desiree.
I'm Melody.
I'm Deandra.
I'm Gregory.
And I'm Ryan.
The siblings grew up in Utah and all were accepted to Juilliard, the first family accepted together. This is the group's 15th season playing together. Gregory explains how they started playing as a group.
Desiree and Deandra, the oldest, had just finished their masters and were kind of, you know, toying around with different ideas of what to do after school. And we started talking and realizing we had a lot of similar ideas of how we would like to present classical music to everybody, not just, typical classical concert goers.
I asked the group if there's any sibling rivalry with their music. Melody says they've been mostly pretty supportive of each other.
I remember for myself, I was always pitted against Gregory. And, you know, it was hard because he's such a good musician. But it was so nice because, like, if he was having, say, an off day or I was having an off day, you know, whoever had the better day would usually advance. And so it kind of made us both feel good that we were at a pretty equal level.
Touring together is a little difficult because they each have their own families. But Desiree and Deandra say they work hard to find that balance.
You know, I'm married now and I have two kids. I'm living in Manhattan in New York City. And that question, I think I'm still trying to figure out. Some days it's like an overbalance of practicing. And my husband's like, oh, I need so much more help here. Can you come help? You know. And then other days, it's like all about the family and the kids and the pickups and the drop-offs for school. And it's like, wow, I really have to practice or I am going to be publicly humiliated in front of thousands of people when I get on stage. And so I don't know. I don't know if I'll ever find that balance. I think as parents and just humans in general, finding that work-life balance is always a struggle.
We still check in with each other all the time. If somebody is feeling like the schedule is too busy and we're not at home, and able to, you know, have personal lives enough, then we'll adjust. But I think it's just like Desiree was mentioning, it's just one of those things that we try to balance our love for music with our love for our families and our personal lives. And I think especially as women as well, we're blessed to have very supportive husbands who you know, take their full stake in the responsibilities at home too. And so because of them and our love for music and our want to still continue to perform together, here we are 15 years later.
Talking to the Five Browns, you can feel how much they love classical music. They play special arrangements fit for five pianos. They told me they hope to pass that love on to the audience.
We just want families to be able to come and enjoy wonderful music and not be concerned about if they're clapping in the right spot or not, or if their child's making a little bit of noise. We want you to be able to feel the joy and the beauty and sometimes the pain that classical music can stir up in individuals.
You can still buy tickets for the concert online at tickets.byuy.edu or buy them at the door. You can also listen to my full interview with them on our podcast feed. Just subscribe to BYU Idaho Radio wherever you get your podcasts. For BYU Idaho Radio, I'm Stephanie Steele.
We'd also like to wish Stephanie Steele a happy birthday.
Thanks for listening to Tell Me About It. You can catch episodes every Friday at 4 on KBYI 94.3 FM.
Our theme music comes from BYU Idaho student composers Alex Watson and Anders Nelson. Find this show and our other podcasts on social media or wherever you get your podcasts. Just like, follow, and subscribe to BYU Idaho Radio.